All right, let's kick off the National Hour on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. No hesitation now, man, because we are just crammed.
Here we go.
Here we go. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night in Canada, 32 Thoughts. Kicking off the second round, Elliot.
Wait. I got to tell you, I listened to the last hour.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm surprised there's anything left of you guys to do another hour. That was one intense hour.
Oh, my gosh. What's great now is we can just hand the ball to you and let you run, Friedge.
Holy smokes.
Exit meetings for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Never a dull moment.
No. Oh, I mean, you know, it's... I don't know how you guys feel, but I just think that the more I think about it, it's not going to happen the way we all think. There is going to be...
The Sammy McKee way, where you just fire everybody right away.
Whether or not that happens... There's going to be something that they do or something that pops up that none of us are going to see coming. There's going to be a curveball here.
So you had mentioned in your 32 thoughts that you thought maybe that the MLSE could eliminate the president's jobs of basketball and hockey.
I didn't say, like, I don't like to touch the basketball stuff because I really don't know it as well
as
I did years ago. But I do think that that is one thing that has been discussed, is the possibility that it's a GM who reports directly to Pelly.
So that would eliminate Brendan Shanahan, you're saying, entirely?
I'm saying that it would eliminate his role if they choose to move on from Shanahan. I do think, I mean, look, like, you guys work for Rogers. I work for Rogers. We know this company. And I will say this. I was told today across ownership there is not unanimity in that belief, but it has been something, as we've talked about, it has been something that's been discussed, is do they need this extra layer, this highly paid extra layer of management?
And do you think then that they would wait for a decision like that to make the concurrent decisions, whether it be on the coach or a trade of someone who makes a lot of money?
Well, look, I look at it this way. Like, I don't think you should be making any decisions on Brendan Shanahan based on what you think of the position. You're keeping or not keeping Brendan Shanahan based on you think how he's done the job. I think if they decide that they're not going to keep Brendan Shanahan, I'm curious to see if they keep the position. And again, as I was told today, that has been discussed, is do they need that role? But look, I mean, you're not going to be making any big moves in the near future anyway, so you have time. But, you know, watching that Keefe media conference today, man, like, I'm a human being. That was a tough media conference to watch. When you hear that a coach is kind of been given the option of, do you want to be part of the exit interviews or not? Like, don't, I mean, you guys have been around, you guys both played at a high level. Like, what do you think what does that mean to you?
I think it's pretty clear what it means.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a decision that's been made there on Sheldon, but maybe they do want to wait to see maybe the new president, or if they did hire one, would say, I actually really like the guy. Why'd we get rid of him? He's better than who's available. You know?
Well, I think that's actually, if you were to go back to last year, that's kind of what True Living did. When he got hired, he looked around. He got to know, he spoke with Sheldon, but he looked around and he kind of thought that the other options that were out there were not as good as Keefe. You know I'm in the minority on this one. And I really heard this today. I thought, considering everything that happened this year, Keefe did actually a pretty good job.
I agree.
Now, I think they had this kind of year at the wrong time. Like, people don't want to hear anymore. They overcame injuries on defense, didn't goal. People are just like, they lost again in the first round. That's all I care about. I think if Keefe goes somewhere else, I think he'll do well. But I looking at him today and listening to him today, it struck me as a guy who thinks that his time, his runway here is over.
Do you think if there's a chance that they do get rid of a Brendan or the president role, that they just happily go to Brad Tree Living now and just have Keith, Brad report to Keith Pelly?
I think that's a possibility. I think that's one, like, that's one of the things they discussed. But like I said today, Nick, someone told me today that they don't think the entire ownership is unanimous on that idea, but there are some people who think.
Are we talking Bell and Rogers?
And Tannenbaum. Like, there's,
but Larry's on his way out.
But he's still there, and he's still there, and he's still got a voice. I was just told it's not unanimous, but it has been discussed. It has been, like,
Larry's, you know, still there dapping up the boys after wins.
Yeah, like,
he's,
you know,
in it.
Like, you know, Keith Pelley, and as someone else said to me, like, he is the president of MLSC and he likes to be involved, but it is a big job. So we'll see where they go. But I think all of these different options are on the table.
Question, and I know this is a bit of a curveball, we'll bring it back in one sec, but the Keith thing, you know, there's all the rumors about Dubas in Pittsburgh and what's going on. Like, he wanted to fire an assistant, and they got rid of one, I believe, but
Mike
Sullivan
Tarbier
and him, maybe were at odds.
I don't think Mike Sullivan's going anywhere.
No Sheldon Keefe to Pittsburgh.
And I don't think Cooper's going anywhere either.
I don't think so. I don't think so, Nick. Boy, Julian Brisebois certainly looked like he slammed the door on that last week.
Yes.
But I don't believe Sullivan's going anywhere. Like I know that, like, I had one guy who called me on the weekend and says, okay, here's my prediction. It's Sullivan to New Jersey, it's Berube to Toronto, and it's Keefe to Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I understand why that makes sense to a lot of people, but I'm under the impression that Sullivan and Dubas, for however they may have felt about the assistant coaches, I've heard they're on the same page about going together.
There is a sense that Ottawa went a little cheap with Travis Green, maybe takes Berube out.
I don't think Berube is going to Ottawa. I heard on the weekend.
No. It's
going to be Green. It's going to be Green.
But, you know, Berube would be looking at 5x5.
Yeah, I can tell you, Sens fans are not happy.
I saw that today. I guess I think I've learned over the years that I've seen coaching hires that were widely praised and turned out to be a disaster, and I've seen coaching hires that were panned and turned out to be really good.
Yeah.
I think Travis Green, I think he's a better hire for Ottawa than I think some of the people are giving credit
for. I agree
for.
With you there, yep.
I think that
I like Travis.
I like Travis. And I'll tell you this,
coach.
Travis can be, and I say this positively, Travis can be a bit of a prick, and they need that there.
But I feel like in Ottawa, there was a sense when you got the new owners spent all this money and that they were going to be an in the limelight team and they'd get a name, you know, they'd get, not that Travis isn't a name, but Berube right now is the sexy big name or someone that, you know, they would feel inspired by. I don't feel like they're inspired.
Could the push on Keith out quickly be because they're in a race for Berube with New Jersey?
Nick, I do believe that. I believe that New Jersey has real interest in Berube.
Yeah.
And if Toronto wants him, they better get moving. I agree. I do believe
that. What about
that
New Jersey job? You think like a Jay Woodcroft might be an option there?
I've heard they've spoken to a ton of people.
Yeah.
I just think, and I've been saying this for a couple days, and eventually I'm going to be right about this. If you want Craig Berube, you better make the call.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have multiple people.
There has to be a reason why Berube's waited this long. I think it was to wait for Toronto.
See the awkward biz question on TNT the other night?
Yeah. I got to tell you, I would not. Did you ever fight Berube? Did you ever fight him?
Bill McCreary saved my life one time.
Did you ever receive punches from Berube? That's what we're asking.
He was coming after me 1,000 miles an hour, and Bill McCreary just turns around and he throws him out of the game and suspends him 10 games.
Oh, my.
For coming off the bench.
Really?
Beautiful.
Oh,
like, Bill, you saved me.
If he ever gave me that luck, I'd go running as far as I can.
Like, we were teammates in Hershey.
I got, you know, like, Nick, you, like, I've seen you interact with him before. I would defer to you on this one. You guys were peers. You know each other better. I got to think, put it this way, I got to think he would be very intrigued by the Devils because I think a lot of people think the Devils are on the cusp of something big. But, you know, someone said to me today, do you think that Toronto is really a good job? I said, absolutely I do because the rewards are enormous.
We're all, we've all been there. We've all
enormous.
Been there.
Everybody
talks about, hey, you want to win a cup here.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately it doesn't happen for a lot of us.
But
you know, I will say this, that it's not for everybody though.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This market is not for everybody. And it's tricky. And as Sheldon found out over the years, it's calculated what you want to say, when you want to say it, how you want to say it, because you got guys like you and Sammy critiquing every last second and I got to put up with it daily. But that's
tough
job. It's a tough job.
Yeah.
But it's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody, but like, if I was good enough to be an NHL coach, I would love to be the coach of Toronto Maple Leafs.
Do you think that a new president or a new authority figure in management would make it easier to go to John Tavares and Mitch Marner and talk about their no trade clauses.
No, I don't. And here's why. Someone called me today and they brought up a good point. I wish I would have remembered this. First of all, with Marner, he's represented by Darren Ferris. Darren Ferris's history is I take my guys right to unrestricted free agency. That's his philosophy, and he does that in a lot of cases. You heard what Mitch Marner said today. Ultimately, like, he was given the no move clause, and he can use it as he sees fit. If the Maple Leafs want to play hardball with him and say, okay, that's your choice, but you're not going to get the eighth year here and you're not going to get the same offer. I think one of the things that the Maple Leafs have to prove, Justin, is that they can hardball somebody in a negotiation. That hasn't always happened, and that's been an issue for them. But, like, the thing is, if Marner, like, if I know Darren, and I've dealt with him a lot over the years, he's going to tell Marner, you go right to free agency. Yeah. That's what I believe. That's what you do.
What a year that would be.
And, you know, the only thing for Marner that I know people got upset by his quote today about, I don't even know what it was exactly. Me. It doesn't bother me either. And you know what, in a lot of ways, like, Marner should be a guy, like, you would think if it worked out properly, he should be a god in this town. It's like, you know, he's a Toronto kid who's playing for the Leafs. He cares a lot. I know people think he doesn't try. I think that's BS. I think his problem is that he's wired too tight, to be honestly, in the playoffs. But I think he does care, and I think he does try. For me, the biggest question is, if I was around him, I would just be asking, do you think is it worth going through all of this again? Because it you can see the frustration, and you see how much it hurts him. I wonder about that.
I can appreciate Darren Ferris wanting to be an agent that wants to take him to the... But yeah. It doesn't have to be that way. You could speed up the process. We know he's looking for a raise.
Yep.
We know he's a legitimate 100-point guy
yep.
every year.
Yep.
The number is the number, right? The cap's going up.
Yep.
You tell me what the number is, Elliot, for a guy like his stature. Is it 12?
He's going to want at least
12
Willie.
And a half?
He's going to want at least Willie.
11 and a half, 12.
12, yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. So I can tell you right now, I know there's teams out there that have already put calls in for Mitch Marner.
I believe that.
Right?
I believe that.
So you don't need to wait another year. He's not getting his money here. The Leafs won't stroke a check for $100 million for the next 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So go and do the deal now.
Yeah.
And he'll happily take the 8 years off a new team.
And I think if you look at
the deals this summer for Mitch Marner.
You know what? And I agree with you, because if Toronto wanted to play hardball, they would say, you're not getting that eighth year here. Yeah. The thing is, and Nick, and you know this, and this is part of me, what part of the problem is with this whole situation, is that the egos get involved. Oh, yeah. And there needs to be somebody here that if...
Whose ego?
Like, I think there's egos of the
not Mitch?
For what? He's going to get his money. He's going to get it somewhere.
Well, but you know, but the thing is, like, don't you think there's a little bit of this is, I'm not going to let them force me out. I'm going to do this on my own terms.
Well, he's not going to go to a team he doesn't want to go to when he's a year away from unrestricted free agency.
But if the decision is, we're going to wait a year and not go anywhere until then.
But it makes no sense, Elliot, if he gets the number that he wants from a team that he wants to play for.
Okay, but at this point in time, I don't believe they've shown any interest in doing that.
The Leafs?
No. The Marner's.
Oh, buddy, that's a formality.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, it's a formality.
Like, when it comes to Marner, I trust you 100%.
If he gets a number from a place that he can envision him being in the next 8 years, the deal gets done this summer.
Okay. So the Leafs would have to be open to letting teams negotiate with Darren Ferris.
100%.
Yeah, I think they would.
100%. It's open. And, like, figure out the teams that would trade for him. Which are the teams that could sign him long term, and which are the teams that interest him?
Yeah, give us a list.
That's it. Well, sure. That's literally what I have here.
But to this point, and I will again, Nick, I will defer to you on this one. To this point, they've shown no interest in doing that, and I think that that's what I would do if I was the Maple Leafs. I would go to him and say, "Look, where do you want to go?"
Yeah.
And
we'll do whatever we can to make this deal
100%.
Happen.
You know, you look at teams who would want offense, who might have something to trade, who are competitive. You think of a team like Nashville, a team like Vegas could have potentially say, You want a guy?
Justin, Islanders. I think there would be 29 teams looking at him.
The more I've thought about it, like, I mean, I would give Mitch Marner the money you're talking about.
It won't be hard to find, I think, a deal.
11 and a half. Yeah.
But, and now here's the other part of that. And this is a very big part of that, guys. Last summer when they had Willie out there before they signed him, they told people they were not losing this deal. Mm-hmm. They were getting a defenseman that they considered equal to Nylander's status as a forward, or they weren't making it. Do you think the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I would be if I was in their shoes, because I could sell it as creating the cap room, the Maple Leafs will have to be willing potentially to lose a Marner deal?
Yeah, and I think when you say lose a Marner deal, it maybe you're not factoring in the value of the space you get and what you do with it, right?
That's so, what I mean.
So you trade the guy and you get back, oh, it's a defenseman and it's whatever, a 20-goal guy. You say, oh, we got worse. But then you're left with another $5 million to spend and you add another player. So cap space is a weapon. It is an asset that you can turn into a player. So you can justify it to yourself that way if you can't go.
Well, that's how you do justify it. But I think last year when they were talking about this, they didn't like that idea.
Right.
Now they're going to have to be more interested in that idea.
But the harder one for me is maybe going to your captain and saying, you got to help us out here.
I can't see any way he does it.
But just wouldn't it be a miserable experience for him? I understand that. I agree. I don't think he would either. He's from here. He's got family here. I'm sure he'd love to be here longer. All these things.
And he can still play. He can still score 60 points.
Yeah. He's still like he had a huge amount. I understand like he may not be an $11 million guy anymore, but it's only one more year at that number. And he's still.
But you need the space. You could use that space too.
Yes, you could. But the thing is, you can't come back with all four of them. So the question is, does Marner allow you the flexibility if you want to go down that road? And if not,
you could revisit Tavares by next trade deadline, too, if you want to upgrade.
You say, hey, for 2 months, will you go play for Chicago? And we'll do this, whatever, have you back. I know that never happens, but.
Ambassador role. $500,000 a year for 20 years on the back end.
What are you expecting Thursday out of
that is a
management?
I'm sure we'll get clarity on Keefe. I'm sure we'll get clarity on what the structure, at least who's coming back or who isn't. Nick, one thing I'm trying to figure out is there anything they're up to right now that we just haven't figured out yet?
I had some people say to me, would they ask the NHL about Coach Quenneville?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that specifically, mm-hmm. but I would bet there's things like that going on. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well,
outside of Quenneville?
Yeah, I bet you they're looking around.
Babs.
Who can we go out there and get?
Yep.
Who would our targets be?
Do you think the league's ready to let Quenneville back in?
I get mixed messages on it. Number one, I'll say this, Nick. I don't think them talking about it is good for them. I don't think Bettman likes that.
Quenneville going public?
Yes. I don't think that's good for them. I don't think Bettman likes that. I have sensed at times that the league has felt that they have that Bowman and Quenneville faced a very significant punishment and that there was time that they'd be allowed to explain themselves and get another chance, but it's never happened. So at this point, so my answer to that, Nick, is it waivers. There have been times I thought they would be coming back, and there have been other times I've thought that the league just isn't ready. But the one thing I've been kind of told by several different people is they don't think it's a good idea for these guys to have public campaigns for it.
Hmm. In terms of other people, potentially for the Leafs organization, are there any players out there that you think would interest Toronto? I know you had mentioned on your podcast today, I thought Seth Jones came up.
That's more me wondering about that.
Okay, yeah.
You look at the free agent defenseman. First, for one thing is, I'm curious on this blue line. Are they going to bring back Edmondson? Are they going to try to extend McCabe?
He's at 3-2 right now, Edmondson. He's going to get a raise.
I don't know.
He's not going to take a pay cut after pretty much showing people that he could still play.
Yeah, you know, I would be curious to see what that would look like, but I bet you they have interest in bringing him back. I think they're probably going to try to extend McCabe, and I would do that too. I thought he played great for them. So, I think they go after a Tanev or a Montour or a Brett Pesce.
Tree Living will go right back, and they need, and I've said this for 2.5 years now, they need two defensemen.
Yeah, and he'll go after them.
They need not one, but two. So you go get Tanev, and you go get one other one, and you got a different look.
I could see Montour or Pesce being big on their radar.
So how does the Wall's
and
last
a goalie.
Does Wall's last injury, like, all bets are off on Joseph Wall
you
right now?
You know what? First of all, Nick, he's signed to a great contract. He's at $775 for another year.
Great backup.
Well, I really think they wanted him to prove that he was going to be their number one guy, but now the biggest question is if he can stay healthy. Look, Samsonov to me today, that said that, you know, if he wants term, he's not really going to get it here. So, and do you see them coming back with Samsonov, Wall next year? I think it's going to be Wall, someone else.
It needs to be a veteran. It needs to be someone with some cachet.
I'll tell you this, at the deadline, I heard they were asked a lot about Hildeby. So that leads me to think that he's going to be a player, but I don't think that's yet.
No, you watch, everybody's going to start digging up Markstrom to Toronto.
Yeah.
You watch, but I can't see it.
Out of the frying pan, into the fire. Calgary to
Calgary, Toronto. Yeah, Calgary wouldn't trade Tanev here. How are they going to trade Markstrom to Brad Tree Living?
Yeah. Well, tomorrow is the NHL draft lottery.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
And does that affect things on your schedule at all? Does anything happen around that time in terms of GMs discussing things or... What's happening this time of year behind the scenes?
Well, now at least people will know where everybody's picking.
Yeah.
You know, one of the teams that really interests me about where they end up in this lottery is Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
I think they could be a really fascinating team this offseason.
Yeah.
They got a lot of prospects already, and you can always add another one. You can never have too many. But I look at them and a first-round pick, and I wonder what they could cook up.
They got a ton of picks. Is Utah going to get weird and try to make a splash with the new owner?
That's a good one. They got a ton of picks. Ottawa's got a decision to make. They got to decide: are we keeping our pick or are we paying the penalty?
Mm-hmm.
So that's another one that.
God, that's tough.
That's a really tough one there. I don't like that one for the Senators at all. But there's I think at least we'll have an idea of where everyone is. You're right. Mm-hmm. That's going to be one nervous lottery tomorrow night. That's Celebrini, man. He is something else. And San Jose, I don't know what Lucky Charms are out in Northern California, but they're digging up all of them right now.
Well, they should be good in 8 to 9 years, so hopefully Celebrini enjoys the beach.
Nice. We're getting a few text messages from Vancouver and Edmonton wondering if Hockey Night in Canada will get canceled now that the Leafs are out, or will you keep going?
That's pretty funny. We're still going. I got to tell you something. My buddies, I obviously grew up here. I have buddies who really love the Leafs, and they say I'm not enough of a Leaf homer.
Yeah.
And they were saying to me on Saturday night, they said to me, Elliot, we've never seen this before. Like, we actually thought you looked like you were going to cry on air. I started laughing. I said, you know me, I root for the Canadian teams. Yeah. Like, I just want the Canadian teams to do so well. But that one was a gut punch for a lot of people. There's no question about that.
Go Canucks.
Who do you like?
Go
Oilers, Canucks. Who are you picking?
I like Edmonton.
Who's their goalie?
Vancouver?
She loves.
Is he...
Buddy,
is he good enough?
He's confident.
Hey, that would be a hell of a story.
Oh, my God. Incredible story.
Hey.
Yeah, like the kid.
Patrick Roy all over again.
Showed big brass ones last round.
Yeah.
So did DeSmith. Both of them.
We look forward to your coverage, my friend.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Reach.
Elliot Friedman, Hockey Night Canada, 32 Thoughts. We'll take a quick break. We'll bring back Sammy for Game Time, plus more from Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All
All right, let's welcome you back into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We'll let Sammy take it away with a little game time.
It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app's latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So we're on the precipice of the second round starting.
Yes.
Into the sad time of the playoffs already. Well, first of all, because the Leafs are usually out, so that's sad for me. But secondly,
snap out of it.
One or two games a night now. When we were the start of the first round,
first
it's
round
like
a hundred
rounds. One tonight,
100 games a night. There's action everywhere. It's electric, and now it's down to one or two a night. The Boston Bruins and Florida Panthers get their second round series started this evening. The series line on that is the Florida Panthers are massive favorites. They're -220 favorites to win that series, +180 for the Boston Bruins. Feels like that's the right number to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, especially for tonight, one night off right into a second round series. But yeah, I don't know where you guys are at with that series, but it feels like it might be a quick one.
I do think it'll be a quick one. I think Florida's going to mop them.
You do?
Yeah. You guys know how I've talked about the Boston Bruins. I don't think they're that good.
Swayman is, you cannot tell me that Swayman's going to go from that to a sweep.
You're right. I actually, when I think of their team, because I'm just wired this way, I fail to take the goalie in sometimes.
He was, like, off the charts.
He was rock solid. I don't think he made a mistake the whole series. Can you name one 100, bad goal
yeah,
even?
Oh, no. He did make a mistake when he completely mishandled the puck behind the net in game 7.
Did.
And
Mitch
Marner had too much momentum going this way, and he picked up the puck. And everyone's like, in defense of Mitch Marner, everyone's tweeting out the screenshot of him like standing behind the net with the puck.
He's
going full speed the opposite way.
Anyways,
he didn't make that mistake. But other than that, not really.
Pretty limited.
Yeah.
Did he have a bad goal against him?
I'm with you though. So. He stopped like, what was the save percentage in the series? Like
650?
954, sorry.
950, I think.
950.
Yeah.
Like, he was.
He's good.
They got goalied.
Yeah. That's certainly part of it. It's going to go 5 or 6.
So the other series, just quickly looking around here, Carolina and the Rangers. Obviously, the Rangers up 1-0 in that series. Still just -125 favorites. I think Carolina's got a comeback in them, +105. Colorado and Dallas tomorrow night getting underway. Boy, that is going to be a hell of a playoff series.
Yeah.
Colorado Avalanche, underdogs, +105 going into that series. Vegas likes Dallas. And finally, our favorite series, our national hour series, Edmonton Oilers versus the Vancouver Canucks. The Vancouver Canucks are prohibitive underdogs heading into that series. -260.
Wow.
For the Edmonton Oilers, if you want to bet on them to win that series,
+210. I think this is going to be a very close series.
Just so people know, we're going to be all over this series.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the national hour series, basically.
Vancouver Oilers.
Yeah. So, when we watch the third period in the morning, of course, because all the games will start at 10 p.m. But,
Well, even tonight, it's like 8 p.m.
Why 8 p.m.?
American networks. That's why.
What's wrong with 7 p.m.?
I don't know.
7 p.m. is an excellent time for a hockey game.
Why do we let them do that to us?
I don't know. It's late. It's just a little bit too late. I get a little tired, dozy in the third period.
Can't do 10:30 p.m.
I thought 8 was like when I was a little kid. That's when 8 was.
I guess that was. Do you want me to do a quick Conn Smythe check in here? Give me 1 second as I pull it up. The Conn Smythe favorite at the moment is Connor McDavid, of course, +600. Mm-hmm. Matthew Tkachuk, the second favorite, +1200.
What do you have? 8 points.
Nine. Nathan McKinnon, +1200.
Yeah.
It's just Shesterkin, 16-1, Bobrovsky, 16-1, Panarin, 20-1, Cale Makar, 20-1.
Not to like bring this back
Freddie
to the
Anderson
Leafs, but
there.
I will this one time, Sammy, on our national hour. I'll bring it back to the Leafs.
Oh, we just talked to Friedge for an hour.
Look at like the stars and their points. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of them on the power play.
Mm-hmm.
From McDavid to Tkachuk. Like once you get into even strength points, they're all around like 3.
Mm-hmm.
It's that tight.
Yep.
Zach Hyman.
5-on-5.
7 goals, 4 even strength, 3 power play. 3 power play goals, pretty good.
Okay.
Nichushkin had 3 power play goals.
Yeah.
And so I'm just quickly looking down the list here. outside of the 20-1 guys, there's not a ton. Maybe if you think, I got nothing else. Carter Verhaeghe, 28-1. There's a long shot for you.
Mm.
He had a good first round series, been clutch, scores a lot of big goals. The narrative, they love that. Little Conn Smythe
action. My Freddie Anderson pick's not looking great.
Huh? I mean, he's got better odds than Carter Verhaeghe. He's 20-1 still.
Doesn't sound like Sam Bennett will play tonight.
No.
Did they rule him out or I don't know.
Anyways, that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play it responsibly.
Let's see what I got on Bennett here.
I don't think we're looking
won't
at...
Won't play.
But I don't think we're... He's dealing with, say, like a Kadri situation a few years ago. And remember he broke a finger?
Yeah, Bennett took a slapper in the hand.
He took a slapper. But I didn't hear anything on like...
Didn't Naz score an overtime winner with a broken finger?
With a...
Against
didn't he take a pin out? Didn't he have a pin and then pulled it out or something weird like that?
I do. That is ringing something, a bell. Yes.
Something. But I don't think that's what I heard on Sam Bennett. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to see time in this series, but I don't know how early, but
nice to have a guy like that a little bit hampered because he puts the lick on
he does.
People.
Yeah, he does.
He's a factor.
I'm sure if you're David Pastrnak after getting hit by Joel Edmondson last game, you're like, I'm fine with Bennett being out.
Yeah, that was one of the more beautiful hits of the playoffs, for sure.
Before we broke for the weekend, I did mention that Winnipeg may be looking for a new coach. That came to fruition today with the announcement of Rick Bowness and his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts, JB?
Yeah, I think we have a clip.
Do we have a clip.
Okay. Let's start with that and
Let's go in.
You talked him out of retirement 2 years ago, man. Judy and I are all set to call it a day then. But if I was going to come back to coaching, I couldn't have picked a better place to come back to and to finish my career with. There's a big draw here, obviously, because of our previous experience here. We know the people that run the organization are fantastic people. This is a great organization, and it's a great city to play hockey in. That I knew. And we have a tremendous, passionate following here. And so I couldn't have picked a better place to come back to and to finish my career. We've got great players. I've been fortunate to have a great coaching staff and all the accolades, both the All-Star game and the nomination, man. It's the players and it's the coaches that got me there. And like I said a couple of times, how many coaches can take the month of November off and still be where we are? The coaches and the players deserve all the credit for that. But, it's been my pleasure to come back. It's been a real honor for me to coach the Winnipeg Jets again.
Almost four decades, 38 years, one of the longest serving coaches in history.
And you don't coach that long in the league without so many people liking you.
I was going to
say. So many people wanting you around.
As far as approval ratings go,
yeah,
you rarely find anyone that's not like, he is my favorite guy I've ever met. Like,
just
people
100%
love him.
Approval rating. I don't know, maybe Kipper knows of a guy or two, but I've never heard a bad word about the man. So, you know, he did great things with the Jets this year. Shame. It ended the way it did, but I think they probably exceeded expectations from the start of the season to how they finished.
I love the way it ended last year, where he just went scorched earth,
which
killed
him. Respect to him.
Yeah, exactly. Bang on. He said what he needed to say. They kept him around, and he coached him to another good year. And unfortunately, they ran into a buzzsaw.
Oh, God, did they ever.
Listen, two years from now, he's consulting Jacques Martin behind the NHL bench temporarily.
Oh, no,
that's a brand new gig that Jacques invented now.
Yeah.
Consulting.
Coaching consultant.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, my advice is get rid of him. Put me in there.
Hey, I've told you this before, I think, but when I was at the Toronto Marlies, after a game, three guys walked in the office, and it was Jacques Lemaire, Jacques Caron, and someone else. And I was like, what are they doing here? And someone's like, they work for the Leafs. Like, they're consultants. That's a good job. You just kind of hang around and tell people what you think because you know stuff. That's a great gig to have.
A consultant? Yeah.
Consultant.
Until you get knocked out and then you got to justify your existence.
Yeah. What do you do?
What exactly do you do around here?
Yeah.
Also, I think Bonus was a nice hire for a guy like Mark Chipman who, you know, great relationship, I think, with the community. Like, it seems like a small town. I've just heard such good things about the ownership and the way that community is all together, and Bonus is a good representative of
that. So now that we've added Winnipeg to the list of needing a new coach, like, what are we at? Six?
It's so funny. Everyone's like, Berube's hired everywhere. Everyone's got
how many teams, Sammy?
I don't know. A few. For sure.
So New
Ottawa,
Jersey.
New Jersey, Toronto, Winnipeg.
You fired Sheldon? Easy, bud. Easy.
Yeah, easy.
Wow. There's a family involved. What are you, biz?
I know them well, too. I like them a lot.
What are you, biz? Just
Toronto is still
TBD.
Filled.
TBD.
Ottawa, New Jersey, Winnipeg. Anything else, anyone?
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Who's their interim? Bannister?
Drew Bannister.
Yeah, what about the Kings? He's a LA. Hiller was a interim,
I would think LA's looking.
Yeah. So there's a few. There's lots of jobs out there.
What did Columbus end up doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really pay a whole lot to Columbus. It's playoff time, buddy. I'm not watching.
No, I think they need one.
Think so?
I don't know.
I will say Columbus was remarkably irrelevant this year. The only time they ever came up was when they did something
just
horrific.
Now.
Can I tell you something? I'm embarrassed we're talking about them right now.
I know. Sorry. Turn the page. All right.
Okay. Just thoughts. We talked about a little bit about watching Dallas shut down Vegas those last 8.5 minutes, and Ottinger.
You watched it.
Didn't look overly busy, but. It still was a bit of a nail biter once you get into that one goal up with 10 minutes to go. But thoughts on a new Stanley Cup champion?
Dallas wins 4 of 5, you know, after Vegas goes into their barn and wins the first two. That's a pretty impressive feat. Wyatt Johnston, guys, this guy's a player.
He's 21.
Actually, you know what? He's not 21 yet. He turns 21
20.
Next week.
He's 20.
Yeah.
And you know who else is young, too, is that Thomas Harley.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's another 21-year-old.
Yeah. And the Ninja Turtle, Stankoven, with those big old shoulder pads. He's young. Stankoven. He's contributing. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ben and Sagan, all right. I actually thought it was a bit of a turning point in the series when McNabb dusted the one guy and then Ben went,
And I picked Dallas to win the Stanley Cup. But, easy. It's just one round.
Okay.
It's
pretty good.
But
they look pretty good.
Is there a little. You worry about, like, the wear and tear on Ben and Sagan and Pavelski when it comes to, like, any shorter series to make sure that you're an old guy.
I got to tell you, it's shocking. I played college against Pavelski. How is this guy?
Really?
Playing? Yeah.
Yeah, you're old.
Oh, buddy, I played golf yesterday. I could barely walk around.
Ottinger's the key there for them.
What's that?
Everybody, Ottinger. Yeah. Any goalie's the key. For sure.
Yeah.
Can I bring it back to the Leafs for a national hour?
No. Too late. Just keep doing it.
Chris Tanev's so good.
Yeah, he's good.
He's so good. He is a guy that if the Leafs have Tanev in that first round series, it's a different thing. He is so good.
I think he can get like $5 million.
Yeah, and I'd give it to him. I've watched him, a lot. Watched him a lot of Canadian teams, and I've watched that first round series.
Bet Dallas would give it to him.
I don't know what his fancy stats are. But I bet you he's on the ice for a lot more goals than he's on against. Like, he is a really great player.
He blocks a certain amount of shots.
Love him.
Rangers, any surprise there at home? Game one, Carolina, and Freddie.
I know, hand it over to this
Freddie
guy.
Lets in what was the game-winning goal to Panarin,
just
the bread man.
Backbreaker.
Short side. Threw him.
Here's what I'll say. It's a little different that it's happening in the second round. So, I mean, that's new for him. That's a new trick, but... That's just quintessential. What I've always talked about him, where he is aesthetically one of the nicest goalies to watch in the league.
Beautiful goaltender.
Beautiful goaltender. Big, the way he moves around, smooth. But there's always one greasy one that sneaks through you and kills you. Mm-hmm. He's the opposite of clutch in those spots.
Yeah.
And I would like, when you see that go in and you're Rod, you're like, oh, boy. Oh, boy. Like
Let's go Chekhov up to. Is he healthy?
I was going to say, what's the chances you see another goalie in that series?
It's not impossible. I still think Freddie, if he just faces the puck and it hits him enough, that Carolina team controls so much of the play. Even the Rangers did win that game, but heavy control, or the play was heavily controlled for Carolina for long stretches. That series is far from over with a single Rangers victory.
I had mentioned last week, too, I didn't like all this talk about Rod Brindamore's contract.
Yeah.
Mm.
And he still doesn't have one, though.
He doesn't. And last week, there was reports about the owner Dundon pulling the contract off the
pulling
table.
Pulling the contract. So he made him an offer and said he didn't decide quick enough?
Yeah. He made him an offer he could refuse?
Yeah. Literally it.
I don't think it's $1 million that they're apart either.
Yeah, didn't you say like...
No, less. Like much less. It's ridiculous. Somebody whispered to me it was ridiculous what they're nickel and diming over.
That's but embarrassing.
I did hear today that... The offer might be back on the table now.
Oh.
But, like, I guess they just have the fact that he loves it there. He wants to be there. He's Mr. Hurricane. They have that in their back pocket.
They went to him. The Rangers went to him before Laviolette.
Really?
Yes. And he
what about the Leafs?
They offered him $5 million, and he could have got $6 million if he wanted with that owner there, Dolan.
Yeah.
And no interest. So... Dundon knows he's not going anywhere. That's why this is playing out the way it's playing out.
That's such bad. Like, I mean, it's brilliant business, but in my mind, it's just such bad. It's like, come on.
He's dealing with people who he's such an important part of that community. I've dealt with Carolina a little bit. I had some discussions with him about doing some work for them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
they like dorks. That's perfect for you.
The first summer, it was like, there's not going to be money for this, but if it works out, we'll talk.
Yeah.
There's not going to be money for this. What league is this? You know, it's a baffling organization.
They're offering you an internship? Unpaid internship. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Pass on that.
What? No way.
And Travis Green to Ottawa, I guess they just needed to lock something up now.
What does that mean?
I don't know. You didn't want to kind of wait it out here?
I mean,
we're all in agreement. We do like Travis Green, but...
Yeah,
you know,
I do. But I just, it felt to me like it was, you know, this big fresh start where they didn't have the owner who, you know, tried to save money on things, and you were going to get... a name hire here. I don't think that you can say that Travis Green is a name. You know, a couple people writing me about him, but, you know, why did they... The consensus is, why did they wait this long to get a guy, you know, with a 434 winning percentage as a head coach? Like, why were they... Maybe they thought they could have get... Were waiting for a bigger name and settled, or... Doesn't feel like they got the guy they were after.
When you're the owner and it's like this new flashy owner, and I heard you guys touch on this with Freege, like, aren't you going to want to be like, here is big splash guy. Like, here they had brought in Jacques Martin as like the weird retro coach. That was the weirdest thing ever. And you're like, okay, first off season, here is Craig Berube. Here is
Quenville.
There's here is
John Cooper.
I don't know.
You know, whatever it is. Yeah. It's
like, you make the big time splash. Yeah. And it's like Travis Green. Okay, like, is he?
You know, I've liked him. I think he's defensively all right.
Yeah, I don't know. His winning percentage isn't great. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I know that's not everything. It's the teams that you have or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think a little better if you're Ottawa. But anyways.
Well, now, I guess they focus on a trade.
And what does that mean?
They need to shake up this tree. Stales needs to shake it up.
So... Decor, obviously.
I don't think they're going to commit to Jacob Chychrun, so
would that be a potential landing spot? Would Marner want to stay in Ontario if they did a...
They're not going to pay Mitch Marner $12 million.
No.
And I don't think if you're the Leafs, like, I know inner
division
stuff.
I would be fun.
Watch him go win a cup with Ottawa.
Yeah, it'd be great to see him win the Art Ross with Ottawa. I'd really feel great about all my takes then. That'd be awesome. Finally, the guy that gets
the scores 82.
He to get into the playoffs the first time ever, and then we know what happens there.
All right, we got to talk about the big series here: Edmonton, Vancouver.
She loves gonna kind of is gonna ring 12 midnight soon, or is he gonna keep going?
I don't know, man. He's really confident. You know, he game six, he was spectacular for them.
Remember his comment last week: "It's my time to shine." It's so cool.
Yeah, you want a guy coming in just being like, "What do I have to lose? This is all gravy. Let's go out there and have a good time." I think that's dangerous.
So give me Edmonton's power play versus Vancouver's penalty kill.
Do you know that their PK is garbage or something?
No, I don't. But I actually think it's pretty good.
If I was a Vancouver fan, I would be extremely worried.
90% PK, 91.
That.
Where was that in the league?
The Bruins and Oilers are, Bruins are 95-2 and the Oilers like regular have not season? Given
yeah,
up.
No, Vancouver's penalty kill.
Yeah, in the postseason.
Yeah.
Sorry. This is the postseason.
Oh, the postseason.
Yeah, they're at 90%.
Okay, how about during the regular season?
Boop, new button. Toggle that again. They are at, Vancouver is 17th, 79.1. Mm. Yeah.
I thought it was better than that.
I would just be very worried that, you know, you get this great win in the first round where you, the focus of the team, it was very low scoring, low event, like these grinded out games. And then you just get hit
the
of a tidal
comes
wave.
To town.
Yeah, like you're just, like, yeah. Like,
the Oilers are the best
McDavid's
team
just firing them through Svilovs in the first game. So now, you lose 4-1. You're like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
Now that we're out of round one, like for the last few years, it's been built up that everybody gets shot out of a cannon. It's the best hockey of the playoffs. Did we see that?
I actually think I like where you're going with this. No.
Did we see high octane? We saw some big hits. We saw some tight checking, though. Some people say it was like watching paint dry some games.
It was actually, coaches had more of an influence on that first round than I can ever remember. I can't remember so many games where teams got 12, 13, 15 shots. Like there was, it was tight checking in the first round, which that's all you do as a coach is control that.
There are some games I watched where it's like there's five goalies playing this.
No one can get
shift.
To the middle, Kim.
Nobody can get a shot through. We're seeing like 20 minutes, three shots on goal.
Well, how about the game that Vancouver ended up winning in their game six in Vancouver? That was, my eyes were crossing for half that game. It was such a slog. And then they hit with like a minute left. They trickle one over the goal line.
Meanwhile, Colorado and Edmonton are juggling and throwing bowling pins and flamethrowers out there, scoring eight a night. Like,
I know.
They're a different beast.
They're really, you know, I'm sorry to my
Vancouver teams
brethren.
To block shots, like 15 a period.
You're only allowed 15 blocks.
Only allowed
15
blocks.
Of the way.
Then you got to get out of the way. No? What do you think?
I think commissioner would have a tough time getting that one through.
Yeah.
But
commit to the pain. What was it? Commit to the
commit
pain?
To the pain. That was Nashville's plan. Just like get in the way. And they blocked a zillion shots. Mm. You know, can you get the defibrillator and old Petey? Get him a little a fresh start here. New round. Let's go, brother.
He just looks scared. Looks a like, lot of these games. There's just this look in his eye.
He just needs a night, right?
He needs one.
A night when to get him going. And
speaking of block shots, they announced the Selke finalists.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Barkov.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Who's the second one? Austin's the third.
Austin
Matthews, and who?
Kopitar?
Probably Kopitar.
No, I don't think it's Kopitar.
I have that information.
Anyways, because Austin's in it because he blocks shots. Right?
Block shots and takeaways. Tons. Jordan Staal.
Jordan Staal. Like, two are, Jordan Staal and Barkov are like defense specialists, and Austin's a shot blocker.
Yeah, I think, Jordan Staal
is a defensive role.
It's kind of
weird to
me
that a 69 goal scorer is up for a Selke. It's kind of weird for me.
Sergei Fedorov, when he was doing it, and did Mike Modano win one or not? But he used to get.
Taves won one. I think that like
Fedorov
won, didn't he? Isn't he the only guy to ever win Selke and MVP? He was unbelievable. He played defense sometimes.
Yeah.
One of the coolest hockey players ever, Sergei Fedorov. But yeah, Matthews is an elite defensive forward kipper. He's
elite
really
shot
good.
Blocker.
No, what are we doing? He's an elite
he's not gonna
defensive
win it.
No, he's not. But he's one of the
blocking
three
blocking shots.
Oh, God. He's one of the team.
He's one of the three best defensive forwards in the league. He scored 69 goals.
No, I can think of more.
We do not agree.
He's really good.
No, he blocks shots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does. And that's a really good defensive thing that he does. And he scored 69 goals. And he played on a broken leg. And Bobby Bond, the first guy.
Yes.
Christ, I'm done.
And what did he say in his meeting? I got hurt.
He got hurt blocking so many damn shots. He's such a warrior.
All right.
Tony Reale right there.
We solved nothing in 2 hours. Yeah. Our thanks to Elliot Friedman for coming in. Sammy, get a good night's rest.
Thanks for
it's
nothing.
It's going to be a long week for you,
great,
Sammy.
Great.
Long.
Can't wait.
We'll wait and wait and wait and see what happens with those Toronto Maple Leafs, your Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay. Justin and I were with them win and tie all the way. Thanks for joining us, everybody. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Enjoy your second round.